Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's 902-1ONG with Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of what is it called? Oh yeah, I almost called it BH 902 and OMG. It's just 902 and OMG, in case you were wondering. It's me, Jenny. I'm here with Tori and Amy. Hi, ladies.
Hello. Hi.
How are the gals? Hi.
After this episode, amazing.
What are you talking about, Amy Sugarman?
I loved it. I loved it. Okay. I have so many things.
You, I had
so
a different things. Reaction.
Really?
I liked Sir. Okay.
You guys, this episode was horrific.
Oh, thank God. Oh, my God. See, here I am. I'm such a follower that I was in the middle of the two of you. And when Amy said that she loved it, I felt pressured to say, like, I felt different, but I like certain elements. And then Jen's like, it was horrific. I'm like, oh, thank God. So I hated this episode.
Hated it.
Hated. No. I mean, listen, if I want to watch a Luke Perry like Western, I'll go to the theater and watch it or rent it. Like, it was beautiful.
Let's tell the people what we're talking about. Yeah. We're talking about season 3, episode 14, Wild Horses, aired November 18th, 1992.
Synopsis: after his car breaks down while on the road, Dylan finds comfort with Anne, a wealthy heiress living at a remote ranch in the mountains. Back in Beverly Hills, Brandon learns firsthand about Nikki's abusive past when her musician ex-boyfriend, Diesel Stone, suddenly shows up and drags Nikki away. Donna helps in a vest and no shirt. Donna helps repair Brenda and Kelly's damaged friendship after Hutchins threatens to blow the whistle on Steve. Steve tries to talk Herbert into taking the rap and looks like a pirate in this episode. Okay.
Directed by Bobby Roth. Written by Chris Brancato and Kenneth Biller.
You guys. Deep breaths. I loved it. I didn't remember it. Did you remember it? This was like watching something totally new to me.
What? Because it wasn't at all our show. Like, what?
Okay.
First of all, it started out really weird, like with extreme close-ups on Ian and Gabrielle. Like right out of the gate, there's like extreme close-ups, which our show was not into.
And they did that with Nikki and everybody. Brandon.
And everybody.
He was shooting a feature film.
Wow.
Bobby Roth is big, right? Sorry, I didn't look him up, but.
Well, apparently he didn't go over well for us because he only directed one episode.
I feel like he's not a team. Yeah. But I feel like he's not a TV director. Am I wrong?
It's so interesting you notice that because I thought this is shot differently. Mm-hmm. And just as like a layperson, I was like, there's some real close-ups in the kitchen of Nikki and Brandon. I also wrote, is this What's Dynasty?
He's a TV director.
I mean, what, Wild Horses?
Tori, tell us what you're reading and learning.
Well, I'm on IMDb, and Bobby Roth is an American television director known for
Dynasty.
Wait for it. I don't know. Not getting that.
He has tons of directing credits.
Lizzo's Smart Story. Yeah, tons. I'm just trying to think of something.
He only did one episode of our show.
You didn't like those close-ups.
I felt like he really tried to, like, you know, shake things up and get, you know, real artsy with it. But it just didn't work for me. I don't know if it was the directing that didn't work for me, but or the storyline. I'm getting angry just thinking about it.
I'm getting pretty riled up myself. The whole look, the wardrobe, everything was different. I was just like, it wasn't 90210, and I was easily distracted. When I was watching this, I was like, ugh. I said it out loud. I was like, I don't like this episode. And I was like, oh God.
You can't say that.
Saying that, would I be canceled?
Well, they just said it. You just said it. So we'll see what happens.
For the integrity of Beverly Hills 90210 was the reason I couldn't watch this episode, because it wasn't true to us. It had some great moments and great scenes, obviously, like, yeah.
Tori, tell me a little more. Jenny, tell me more. I need to hear why you guys did not like this.
Well, first of all,
the storyline, like, what the heck?
This is my note. This is what where it turned for me when she goes, I'm Anne, and I was what the is happening?
You got to back off for 1 second because I forgot to tell you this part.
What?
I'm pretty sure the reason she got cast in this is because she was in one of my favorite horror films ever, and it's Sleepwalkers, and I loved it so much that I was obsessively telling my dad, you have to put her in something, and I think that's why he used her in this.
Did you write the story too?
Alice Creek, hell no. Oh, so Alice Creek, did I be saying her last name right? I only know it in... Okay, so she's amazing. And you guys, she was just in the brand new incarnation of Texas Chainsaw Massacre on Netflix. She's so good. Okay, what were you saying?
I have no response.
Okay, I need to start from the top. Here are my questions for you guys.
Was Luke like, I want to do something with horses? And
okay,
like, get out
here's
here?
What
like,
I've on. Investigated things. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay, this is my question.
I did some investigation with our good friends over at the 90210 show.
That is cheating.
It's not cheating.
I was going to ask P2 and I didn't.
It's
that's
resources.
Cheating.
This is called research. So
that's why he suddenly Pete Farrell was like freaking out because he's like, Jenny Garth followed me.
Yeah. That was the bargain. Some insight.
Give it to
he
us.
He talked to Chuck, Charles Rosen, the producer. Yeah. And apparently, I just have to read it. Let me just find it.
Yeah, tell us, read it.
Oh,
That's great. Because I did feel like I was watching Dynasty, but I was loving it. I'm surprised you guys didn't love it like I loved it.
No.
I mean, it wasn't Dynasty. It was like Dallas, which for the record was not my dad's show, even though everybody over the years has told me like, oh, I love Dallas. I'm like,
did
not
Luke
his.
Know how to ride? Because I felt like there was that scene with him in the white tank top where he was like a professional.
Yeah, he knows how to ride. Okay. This is what he said. Luke was doing the rodeo movie, 8 Seconds, the time. So you were right. And they did it as a vehicle to drive people to see that. Pete also went on to say, it is awful.
No, Pete, no.
The woman, I'm sure, is nice, but not great. And it's viewed by many as the worst episode. One of the worst episodes.
Interesting. So what she's saying, which Pete, our friend, is saying, who's a 90210 guru, he is saying this episode wasn't great, not 8 Seconds the movie.
No,
just to clarify.
Because I love that movie. Eight Seconds, such a good movie. I would watch that every Saturday if I could.
I did not hate this episode at all, not remotely at all. It did feel like I was watching. I even said to our other producer this morning, I was like, I think I literally have never seen this episode before.
Well, here, this is the problem because, okay, so Luke wanted to do something with horses, right? Remember when they said that, oh, Luke wanted to work with the blonde. So automatically my mind goes to, oh, wait, he worked. Now he doesn't want to work with me. And now he wants to work with an older woman. I started panicking. Like I was like, this is how the mind gets all like disturbed.
See, where my mind was going is why didn't they make that a Dylan Kelly storyline?
Right?
But if they wanted to do horses, like
they just dropped,
what the heck?
They just literally dropped the story that was going and was like super engaging, the whole love triangle thing. And then he goes off and does this weird stuff with this weird lady.
I feel like there's something else, Jen. I feel like I'm now, you know, sometimes when we talk things out, I have like, we both have like, oh, wait.
What?
There was something.
Tell me.
So when the boys would talk, they would talk. And they got loud sometimes.
What did they talk about?
Girls and stuff, and we were young, but we were there, and you would just be like, I'm not a part of this. But I could hear, I wasn't just eavesdropping. I remember some talk about this woman, Luke, or unless he was just like, you know, he was young, just like, oh, she's really nice, she's beautiful. I don't know. But because I did remember that during the scene. And so I watched his movements with her, and I feel like only thing I can compare it to is I know, like, you guys had real chemistry. So while it was acting, like, it was real, that, like, attraction and feelings for each other on some plane in this universe. With them, I feel like he was being respectful and he was to the side. And at one point, he puts his hand down and he goes like that on the grass. Did you see that?
And his other hand is like above, like not engaged, right?
Yeah. I remember the boys talking her over. Or maybe they were just being boys and being like, oh, she's hot, whatever, da, 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 da. I don't know. But wait, something. I remember some combo.
It didn't feel like natural or organic. I don't know. There was just no chemistry. It was bizarre writing.
It was bizarre. It was totally random. The thing that I thought was significant is that it got him out and that became a storyline, like that he took off. And it was a little random, but I loved the scenes with Donna playing therapist between Kelly and Brenda.
I wrote down poor Donna stuck in the middle.
I loved it.
I'm so non-confrontational that it was actually those lines. I could hear my voice was higher than like I'd gotten
you were
to a
nervous
rhythm.
I could tell.
I was so nervous. Okay, yeah. So nervous. That was so uncomfortable because I wouldn't do that in real life. So
yes,
that part
you kind of did that in real life though. You kind of were like,
that's what I was going to say.
Like the middle of Shannon and me in the early, you know, all the conflict stages.
So when that would have happened, could you ever picture me being like, guys, I love you both. And like, we should just like get along. And it's like, da, da, da. Never.
I can't picture you doing that ever with anyone.
Ever. Or like even today or ever. Yeah.
Donna had the most like profound analysis of the whole thing, because she first of all had like the balls to say to Brenda, like, you told everybody you wanted to date and that Dylan was free to date,
right? And then Kelly's like, ha, see, but
and then she says, but
Kelly,
right, but Kelly, it was inconsiderate of you to not at least talk. I thought Donna had such wisdom, and I thought she was adorable how she did it. Oh my God, am I in another planet today?
No, I couldn't separate myself from this one. This one, I cringed at, like, me being in the middle like that.
Cringe.
It just felt, because it just felt very, it took me back to places and things I would never do and say or like, so. But if I weren't Donna, I can understand with these three best friends, like, yes, Donna did that, was great.
And it was so Donna of her. And I also think it was such an, you know, Donna always had that sort of stigma of like, oh, Donna's not as smart as everybody else. No, Donna is the wisest of all these people.
Mm-hmm.
She is.
Thank you. takes it personally.
On behalf of Donna.
Thank you.
She's always, you know, almost mature about the way she handles situations. Nope. And I thought this showed that like, oh my God, I literally, I'm having to like check my own brain right now.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger. Feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Hey, everyone. So as you can imagine, we know a thing or two about makeup. We've pretty much tried it all.
And we are really liking Thrive Cosmetics because they have a full line of makeup perfect for an everyday look refresh.
They have clean ingredients that feel great on your skin. And their products are foolproof, which makes it easy for any skill level to apply.
And it's really cool to know that Thrive Cosmetics donates products and funds to help communities thrive.
Oh, I love that connection. See that? Plus, how cool is it that their high-performance formulas are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free?
Amazing. And they have zero parabens, sulfates, and phthalates.
I really believe when it comes to makeup, beautiful eyebrows are so important. Don't you think? Their Infinity Waterproof Eyebrow Liner helps you achieve your ideal eyebrow look.
And their easy-to-use waterproof pencil holds like a wax and blends like a powder.
Ooh la la. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back.
Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/90210.
That's Thrive Cosmetics. CAUSEMETICS.com/90210 for 10% off your first order.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Well, I was happy that the girls had a minute to work things out, which it still didn't feel very realistic that they would just be like back to the old times in the hallway, friends again.
High schoolers not hold grudges? Like maybe high schoolers do forgive faster.
Maybe.
They do.
So it was like, knock, knock, knock. And then I love the moment, like, knock, knock, knock. Here I am. And she's on the phone with David. It's like, that was very teenager. Like, we fought for 3 days and now we need to end it.
Mm-hmm,
and we need to be friends again. Let's be best friends.
But over something that big, I don't think that they would just make up like that.
Nor does the audience really want to see that, right? Like, holding out tension is like...
Yeah, we were just getting invested in the drama of it. Like,
yeah.
And the conflict between the characters. And now they're back together and Dylan's just... Adios, amigo.
But maybe they need it. Well, we don't know what's going to happen.
Right, I do.
But they had to bring you guys back together so that you can get torn apart again. Right? But it still should have lasted a little bit longer. Come on.
Yeah.
I feel like teens forgive quickly.
My note was, what on God's green earth is happening? That's my note.
Okay, wait. Before we finish with Anne and move on to David Arquette, let's dig into Anne and Dylan a little bit more. I did think it was totally random. I also thought no human in their right mind is like pulling up on a horse to a broken down car and inviting the person into their home. Amy, that was like, this is so far-fetched and crazy.
How do you feel about her camel toe or maybe her multiple fringe outfits? Like, I just... It kept getting worse and worse for me.
Dinner scene?
Leave her alone!
You are around horses does not mean you wear fringe. I ride horses. I've never worn fringe. This woman wore fringe in every outfit. Her neighbor comes over for dinner. She's wearing fringe. I was just waiting for Dylan to don some fringe, but instead he wears that ugly shirt she left for him. Oh my God.
I kind of like fringe.
I mean, yeah, but not like, it just didn't work. And neither did that shirt.
Kelly should have been riding horses with him.
I mean, I would have loved that. Hello, I love my horses.
Maybe after the jet ski incident, he thought you were a liability. He was like, no more athletic like scenes with her.
No activities.
Just make out. Sorry.
Oh, God.
Although I thought it was far-fetched and ridiculous, I still loved it. I loved how at the end.
But you hold on. You love when she says, well, first of all, I just need to do it one more time. I'm Anne. You can't. I'm sorry. I can't help myself. And then you liked it when she said, stay with me at the ranch. You can work Shadowcaster.
That one was.
It was very odd. I agree.
Freedom. Money can buy happiness. Your freedom. One thing money can buy.
Freedom.
Now I'm doing the deep voice. Oh my gosh. I DM'd her too. Now she's never going to speak to me.
No, I think Alice, is she South African?
She is English. She's British. Like British.
British. Oh, because she was, there was like a weird accent going on. I wasn't sure what was happening, but I was intrigued by it because I couldn't really pin it down.
It was like a Madonna accent, like affected. Yeah.
But she's right? trying to sound not because she was
not like American.
Y'all didn't think there was deep meaning in horses get bored if ridden by the same person?
Well, don't we all?
Hold on.
I mean.
Hold on. That's one of the lines. I missed that. Horses get bored when they're ridden by the same person.
I missed that one.
Oh, that was major.
I was focused on her checklist.
What
is Dylan.
That mean? What does that mean to you?
I thought it was a parallel between
sex.
Brenda.
Oh.
Horses get bored. Oh, so he's the horse?
Oh.
And we're the same riders?
Yeah. Well, like, it's an analogy. Like, that's why he's moving on from his relationship. That's why he had to sort of take off.
She does not know
him. But ridden
him.
Means like cowgirl style? What?
We're not really getting specific with that, but you can.
I wasn't being sexual about it.
I just feel like she doesn't know Dylan. Like, it just made me very angry to see her like clawing onto him and inviting him to ride her horse.
You're putting some other feelings on here.
I might be.
What if that was Steve? Would you have felt the same way? Or Brandon?
No.
I know.
Nope.
But Luke has never looked like this was like I was appreciative of this storyline for one reason. Like, him shot out there and his white tank top, I was like, obviously we all know how beautiful he was, but like, just like this, I was like, this guy, like, and it still stands up like 30 years later. This is such, he's such a heartthrob.
I thought the performance by the Porsche was also excellent. I thought the car looked cool, and then they had like just enough dirt on it.
I always love it when he's working on the car, he's going to have some grease on the face here and here, strategically placed.
I feel like that was a very like Aaron Spelling note. Talking about him like he's not my dad, but like always like do that grease.
The whole episode felt like all your dad shows. That's why I kept saying Mosh Dynasty together. Like it moved quick, lots of different things happening, beautiful things, rich. Like I just was like, where does this rich lady live?
I mean, it looked so fun riding those horses like
her mansion
and that beautiful barn. It was really gorgeous.
Yeah.
I don't know where that was.
I was thinking like Los Olivos.
Jenny, no. I was like, nope.
Santa Clarita? That doesn't seem
probably more like that.
Closer. Oxnard. I don't know.
Ojai?
Oh, yeah. No, could have been Ojai.
Remember, she said it was in the sticks, out here in the sticks, didn't she?
I feel like Santa Clarita is probably where they filmed.
She also said, I can't.
She can't and she won't, but I shall.
What a weird dinner party. Like, those are her friends that she invites
her? Weirdly, we're getting a note that it was in Thousand Oaks. Like, really?
That makes sense.
That's as far as he made it from Beverly Hills to Thousand Oaks?
You're taking it literally. He made
it's
it.
It's like 40 minutes.
No, it's just where they filmed.
Yeah. They filmed it in Thousand Oaks, but it was probably set, yeah, in Northern California.
For my purposes, he was like in Ojai or Los Olivos. In your mind, made it out of L.A.
Yeah, good. All right. Now that we've cleared that up.
So do you want to stop with her and move on to David Arquette?
No, I'm not
done
yet.
I can do an hour on David Arquette.
I'm not done. I'm not done. We should let her go.
There's more fringe.
This is like therapy.
Her gloves had fringe. I just want you to know, too. The gloves had. I actually do own a pair of gloves that I ride with that have fringe on them. I am now embarrassed to say I'm throwing them out. But my note was, oh, my God, if I see any more fringe, I'm going to lose it.
And that's so weird. Like each week, you don't have that reaction when you see multiple plaid on plaid on everybody.
No.
But fringe is it.
Fringe sent me over the edge. And then at the end, when he says that he's got a trust fund worth hundreds of millions of dollars.
I made a note too.
I was like, whoa, that's a lot of money.
Also, the horse sold for $1.3 million.
Do you know where my mind just went? I'm like, wait, was that put in? Because that was supposed to be my original trust fund.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Oh, Tori. The horse sold for $1.3 million in 1993. Like, are horses $5 million? This random horse that she's just going to let a stranger ride?
Don't you watch Yellowstone? Yeah. They're expensive.
In 1993?
I mean,
that's a lot.
And plus, would she really let him be riding it? Right. Like running it in a field? What if it falls and hurts its leg? There you go. It's worth nothing.
And then he was so offended by her selling it.
Yeah.
This basic, complete stranger.
Not your business, dude. And also, okay, so then you humiliate her and tell her like how materialistic or whatever she is. Then you kiss her? One last kiss for the road?
It's very Dylan, sorry.
I hope Kelly never gets together with this guy. That's what I hope.
Someone wash her mouth out with soap. Can we stop talking? I feel like we just lost our whole audience. Are we done?
No, they are on the edge of the
seat. Are we done here?
I'm so bored. Can we move on?
Yeah, let's move on.
Okay.
I'll talk about it in therapy. It's fine. Yeah. Were you happy to see the air ties return? The return of the air ties. Steve, right out of the gate, back to the air ties. Just so you know.
I totally noted that. I was like,
I didn't want them to really go away, you guys. Air ties were very 90s. Like, hello.
Yeah, I did so well with the unbuttoned.
Mm-hmm.
Later in the episode, he's unbuttoned.
Yeah, I don't know. He's not, he's kind of in, but he doesn't know what to do right now. I feel like he's lost.
I'm telling you right now, I want to research this. I'm telling you, our wardrobe person changed. Like, this is different.
You do that. You
the
research
colors,
it.
The moodiness of the colors and the. Okay.
All right. Let's talk about the Steve storyline. What do you all think? We'll get to David Arquette in a minute. We'll go to Steve.
There was a lot of close-ups of Steve pondering his situation. And I felt it was interesting that he used a payphone. I liked that.
Yes.
Remember payphones?
I do. Remember when they were a dime and then it went up to 20 cents yeah. and everyone was like, ugh.
Yellow pages.
Yellow pages. Collect calls. Real thing.
I really like Herbie. Is Herbie, right? Herbert? Mm-hmm. Herbert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just really wanted to cut that ponytail off. Oh, like, I just want to go snip.
Here's what I liked about Herbie. He was like, no.
Yeah,
Steve.
I was like,
no.
Go, Herbie. Yes.
Yeah.
He laid it down.
Steve hit the lowest of his low, just being disgusting. I wrote, you're disgusting. And then at the end, he's now redeeming himself, which I thought was okay.
He had his aha moment.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then he was apologizing for so many things.
And he's all vulnerable and sensey. I liked that.
Yes. I thought it was so sweet when he said to Andrea, like, this is a terrible thing I did, but I never need a reason to hang out with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like,
yeah, he was sweet. Oh. And it wasn't like too much, like wasn't all tearful or anything. It was very straightforward, but vulnerable. I liked it.
But yeah, I went from just finding him vile to mm-hmm. liking him again.
That's how it works. But, young love.
He does seem to be in a bit of a pickle. Like,
he's kicked out of school.
Right. It's like, how's he?
How does he get back How's in? And does he get back in? I don't know.
Well, obviously.
His dad.
You can't ruin things for
Maybe
me.
Maybe I'm remembering something I probably don't remember, right? Doesn't matter. I can't find the wardrobe designer for season 3.
Well, you look while we take a break and we're going to come back and talk more about this episode.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Hey, it's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on. Get ready for a ride. We're gonna have some fun.
We'll explore and listen to the sounds of awesome places like farms, racetracks, and even construction sites.
Follow your ears, what do you hear?
And we'll meet new friends along the way.
They'll teach us awesome new things about the places and things we see and hear.
What did we learn today?
Learning is so cool.
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip Podcasts on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
the war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm telling you, it started to change, you guys. Like, I feel like...
You're probably 100% right, because we had a number of different heads of wardrobe.
Well, whatever's happening is they're giving all the good clothes to Brenda Shannon. Because she looks awesome again. Yeah. She had a full black thing.
Mm-hmm. She looked good.
Diane Kennedy was the costume designer, Tori.
No, that's the original one.
Okay. Maybe she just changed her taste a little.
Or are we at this point starting to get a little more vocal about what we want and we're changing colors and stuff?
Ruining it.
Can we talk about David Arquette?
Can we? Because he was smoldering. Right? He was so... I liked him with that whole piano guitar situation, whatever that instrument was he was playing. I was like, you get it.
He was playing a Casio keyboard on a guitar stick. Strap.
So I did not remember, because I was friends with him during this time period. Friends, we would be at clubs together and stuff. But I had forgotten.
Was he anybody?
Right. And I mean, we knew he and Luke were friends forever, but I didn't realize that he was on 90210. I forgot. Or I mean, obviously, Luke recommended him, right?
I have no idea.
Pretty important part.
I wonder if this was his first, this seemed like really early in his career.
Early.
If you know what I'm saying.
He was adorable.
He's such a jerk.
But he's good.
Diesel Weasel Dennis.
I feel like David Arquette was never known, to be the jerk, the
tough guy,
alternative, leading man, basically. He's kind of quirky and he does comedy, but look here. I was oh my gosh, whoa. His career could have gone a different path. He's so alternative
broody.
And hot and brooding. Ugh.
Oh, he was on Buffy the Vampire Slayer in 92 as well.
Wow.
Oh. And you don't mean the movie, right?
Yeah. And Blossom.
Okay.
And he was in Never Been Kissed, which was a great movie.
That was later, because that is a fabulous movie.
Yeah, that was 99. But then he went into the Scream there.
Scream.
Okay, so this is making sense because he and Luke possibly could have met on Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yes.
That makes sense. Ding, ding, ding. Okay. You win the prize.
Not
you won
yet,
that
though.
One,
but
Tori.
I feel like they used to live together. Remember this story?
They were very good friends. Yeah, I don't know.
Up until Luke passed. Always remain... close friends.
Right.
Wow, they were, I didn't know that.
I remember Luke was very close with Alexis.
Right.
Wow. Right. I didn't know any of this.
The whole family. Jen, it's coming back. I feel like Luke lived with the Arquette family.
I know he was lived with Alexis Arquette. I remember that.
could have sworn David telling some story at some point. And I thought, like, I don't know. Like, when Luke first moved out here, he might have lived with them for a bit. But they were already friends. So I think that's it.
I mean, the story was, it was good, I guess. I don't know. But I just was like, oh, here we go again with Brandon and his big temper tantrum. He's going to storm off.
But I thought rightfully so.
This episode features a lot of focus on guest characters. It really does. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Kind of taking the place of leading, like, you know, Dana Barron's storyline. It's like with Diesel Stone, like, great. But like, can we get back to our, you have a really big main cast. Get back to them, I feel like. And then with Anne
You make
Creek,
a great point there, Tori, because like, it's very rare that we see a scene, which we did in this, mm-hmm. that was David Arquette and Dana Barron. So there's like a major scene happening and not one of the regulars in it.
Brandon was in it. He was just like in the back lurking. Like,
but first she's at his house. He shows up there. And you're right. He does show up and he's involved in it. But we had that interaction between Nikki and Dennis Diesel Weasel.
Shirtless.
Without anyone else.
Keyboard player, man.
I just thought whoever wrote the lines between Brandon and David Arquette.
What?
Jason and David Arquette.
Don't be Brandon a chump. You don't like
Diesel.
That?
Oh, my God. I mean, it was like, dump this bum and get a real man.
Don't be a chump. Who's get lost, chump? Oh, God.
I mean, all the lines. They went on and on and how he called him Weasel. And then, I mean, the whole thing, just his name's Diesel. She calls him Dennis. He freaks out. Brandon calls him Weasel.
That, I love that. He calls him Weasel. But what about when Brandon says, I don't really give a rat's ass what his name is.
The whole interaction between them. And then they fought. They punched.
Those weren't real punches.
I know, but they fought. And like, Brandon was pushing him.
Do you see the scene where Weasel slaps Dana Barron, and it's literally a mile away from her face, the worst fake slap I've ever seen.
Which Sorry, is odd, because no she told us she likes to rehearse a lot. So I'm
I don't know,
surprised they didn't rehearse that slap.
I don't know. It didn't look so good.
And you guys didn't love Nikki just being so in on the music biz, as she called it.
No, it bothered me.
What year is she? Is she a freshman?
She's a sophomore.
She's a sophomore.
I found out from somebody that, because I do read all the comments, that she had a buddy because she transferred. So that's why she was assigned Donna as a buddy.
Okay. Oh.
So she's not quite as young. But you guys, I mean, I almost want the whole script so we could do a dramatic recreation, because he's like, all right, Axel.
Axel?
So Brandon calls him Axel. And then he's like, Axel Rose is a sellout. That loser was your boyfriend. Like, you don't know the music biz, Brandon. Like, it was.
Oh, I could watch this. I want you to get drunk and then do all the lines from the show.
Oh my God. If somebody could, this was like some of the best lines, maybe the worst.
You're teetering back and forth between worst and worst.
We have threatened to recreate a scene. How come we never do it?
Okay, you guys.
You know what I want to do? I want us to all watch the episode, and I want to do the podcast while we're all together watching the episode. Because if someone were to see what happens to me when I watch one of the episodes and like the commentary, and I know we've watched together before one story, and it's ridiculous what comes
out of our
mouth.
It was golden. Yeah.
You guys.
It's like pillow talk for 90 Day Fiancé when they have people like interject. Yep. Like, we need to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. We have a new sponsor that might be coming in, and they want us to do like something extra cool. So why don't we have like a girls' night
and we all get in bed and watch the show together?
And watch an episode.
With snacks.
I love it.
Snacks.
Yeah, snacks.
Wait, okay. Did anybody else? So I'm in a hotel right now because I'm on a work trip. And I watched it last night. Did anybody else have this experience? When David's doing his performance and his feedback is so bad, I thought the fire alarm was going.
Nope, that was just David singing.
I started taking it down.
Wait. You thought the fire alarm in your hotel was going off? Is this a joke?
Oh, my God.
You guys, because if it was, I'm watching it, you know, but I'm like kind of doing a couple things around here while I'm watching it. And that noise was so high pitched and so awful that I'm like, oh, God, I've set the fire alarm off.
That's hilarious. So
the Dell. And then I pause it and I'm like, oh, my God, it's the feedback from David's mic.
Well, I felt bad for poor David and the feedback. That's like, oh, what a bummer.
I did too. It was.
But did you like Different Eyes by Diesel? Different Eyes? That was his song.
And then the Waste Management or something? What was the name of his band?
Oh, yeah, what, I wrote it
Waste
down.
Management.
Okay.
Waste Management. Duh.
Like, as soon as I heard that, I laughed out loud, and then I just couldn't focus, and I was like, oh, get it together. David Arquette's on the screen. Come on,
then
come
he
on.
Shows up. Then Diesel Weasel shows up at the school.
Driving like a battle.
Oh, I was in that scene.
You were, and then you let her get in the car with him.
Well, I agree. What?
But Donna, you're not.
With the drunk maniac.
Yeah. Have you been drinking? Yeah. Okay, let me get in the car with you. Great idea. And Brandon's standing. I don't know.
Why did she get in the
Don't car? Get in the car with a drunk cold, Nikki.
She said he has a hold over her.
Apparently.
I was going to say, that happens.
Have you ever had someone have a hold over you like that?
Yeah, like my first bad boyfriend. Yeah, my first bad boyfriend.
Yeah,
like
right.
Everything he did was just wrong, and bad. But
and
like,
you liked it.
Looking back at the time, I thought I didn't know why, but I couldn't leave and I couldn't not be with him. But it was my self worth. He had destroyed that so bad because that's what people do, like the you know, addicts and stuff like that. Diesel Weasel's an addict, I'm assuming. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's just like,
we're making fun of it, but you're right, Tori. It is like, serious because it is real.
I just felt like, oh my gosh, no one's going to love me. Like, I have to go back to this person. Like, so I don't know if it's so much like she's just like, oh, he's just so amazing. Like, deep down, she doesn't think he's amazing, but he has this hold on her.
Yeah. They have history.
Yeah.
He's a musician. I get it. Like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think she even says that in the kitchen. As she's got the like ice on her eye.
Which, by the way, that makeup looked really good, I thought. Like the
agree.
Bad eye thing, the punch or whatever it was.
Now, did I get this part wrong? And I probably should have watched it like 6 more times. She talks to him about the shots of tequila. This is back when he doesn't come, she doesn't come home and said, told her aunt she was sleeping at Donna's. Mm-hmm. Did he say, and you made it with him?
Oh, I don't know. We definitely need to rewind.
Made it.
I think that's the way, like, maybe she saying said
you,
hooked
maybe
up.
Maybe he said you made out with him.
I thought he said you made it with him. I
refuse to believe that.
And then she's so just, musicians are very competitive. Like, she was just a little bit in on the music.
Yeah, she didn't know what she's talking about.
Can we go back on one thing about Dylan?
Sure.
Okay.
How the woman had that backstory of sleeping with the headmaster and then—
Is that not a red flag?
Marrying the guy whose trust fund was bigger than hers. Like, that was a whole hot mess over there.
Good choices, Dylan. Get involved with this Looney Tune. Class act.
Maybe she quickly had a hold on him.
And she's all, no pressure, no strings. Like, it was weird. It was.
The whole thing.
I enjoyed it, but it was weird.
Yeah, it was weird.
Guys, I'm going to ask you like a tough one. Did Luke Perry, I don't know how to say this right, wield a lot of power? Because for an actor who has another project to have enough power to work something into a TV show script where he's like an actor that encourages people to see his movie. Like, that seems like, whoa.
He was huge.
Mm-hmm. Like he was huge.
He was huge. And he was really nice. Like, anybody that new Luke would have done anything for him. So it's not like, I mean, of course he had power because he was like the biggest star, but also like that nice a guy, like, yeah, that combo.
Because these days they would make the movie studio pay like a fortune to the TV studio and the network for the product integration. Do you know what I'm saying? To be able to
that
sort
was
of,
different. I mean, that was just a wink, wink. Like
it was a wink, wink. You're right. Like, it's you're not, right. It wasn't like so straightforward. Like, and I'll be on the horse for 8 seconds.
Whoa. That was good. I like
but that. Still, he's powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like the producers loved him and they hung out and talked. And, you know, I remember Luke spending a lot of time in Paul's office and a lot of time talking to the producers over the hill. We used to call it Over the Hill, remember?
Oh, wow.
Because we were in the valley and our writing staff was in, what would that be called? Beverly Hills adjacent. I don't know. Where's that? Wilshire? Mid Wilshire area.
Yeah.
And so we always used to say Over the Hill.
So were the writers at Spelling Entertainment or at Fox?
They were not at Fox. They would come into Spelling Entertainment.
Mm-hmm. I think so too, but I don't know.
But I mean, my dad and Luke were super close too. I mean, Luke came to our Christmas Eve every year.
Yeah, like one phone call from him. Hey, so I'm really into horses right now and I'm doing this movie. Yeah. Is there any way we can kind of do like a horse thing?
And did any of the rest of you do that?
I did it once.
Oh, tell us.
Only time in the entire series in 10 years. Sorry, it was too much, you guys. Like at some point I had to go and I said it to my dad and I was like, it's enough. Donna needs to lose her virginity.
Oh, wow.
I did it over like family dinner Sunday night. Like I didn't go into his office. I didn't feel worthy of that. But I was like,
pass
Dad, like I feel like,
please
I feel like everyone, like it's time,
have sex
like,
with David.
You know. I mean, at that point, Donna was supposed to be like her early 20s, right? Like it was, right, like it was way like into the show. Yeah, it was time. I can't imagine you ever doing that.
I don't think so. I think
Randall James come to the phone. Randall James.
What?
I'm here. What's the question?
Voice of Hollywood. Can you come in for a second? There he is. Okay.
No, I don't think that we ever went and made any special requests for storylines that were helping Jenny in some other way.
So you're saying I did not have the power.
No, I'm
no, I
that.
Certainly did not have the same power.
You totally
have
the power.
Since you asked, I would suggest that this actually would help the show as well. I mean, this was Luke's first big movie that he was starring. It was a studio movie. And I think for his star to rise even more by becoming a movie star, I would argue that that would help the show. And so I would think
I agree.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I think it served both of their interests.
Well, it served my interest because he looked good on that horse.
Ah, so good.
All right, carry on.
Okay, I have another weird note that I want to see if you guys thought. And I don't even know. I apologize in advance if I'm saying something inappropriate because I don't even understand what it was. First of all, Brandon and Brenda are in the school hallway, sort of having a little, you know, chitty chat. Mm-hmm. And he hugs her in the weirdest.
That scene right there was Shannon and Jason. That wasn't Brenda and Brandon.
Hugs her on the waist like a boyfriend.
Always like that. Like, why do you think people started like in real life being like
wondering?
Oh,
yeah.
This is an ancestral relationship. Like, obviously it wasn't, but they were like. There were vibes there.
You would never hug a sibling like that. That was really.
Oh, but you would. If it was Brandon and Brenda. Okay, let's come back and let's talk about fashion.
Mm. Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Hey, it's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on, get ready for a ride, we're gonna have some fun.
We'll explore and listen to the sounds of awesome places like farms, racetracks, and even construction sites.
Follow your ears, what do you hear?
And we'll meet new friends along the way.
They'll teach us awesome new things about the places and things we see and hear.
What did we learn today?
Learning is so cool.
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip Podcasts on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, I know you feel...
No. Diesel Weasel Dennis's...
He looked like a rocker. He looked appropriate.
Was he wearing a key necklace?
Yes. Remember when... Was it? I didn't know that was a thing, and now they're back. Like, you can go buy a key necklace.
Giving keys.
Yeah.
I don't think they meant giving keys back then. Am I wrong?
This was like the key to his... locker or something. I don't know.
Oh, I thought you were going to say a different word. Oh my God.
Ooh. No. I really loved the vest shirt combo as seen on Steve Sanders. And I did also note that maybe he borrowed it from Johnny Depp or Pirates of the Caribbean. I don't know.
It was totally pirates. Like mm-hmm.
It was like a shirt, but right here on the shoulder, there was a vest sewn onto the front of it.
Oh, remember those were in, but it really looked like a pirate, this one.
Yeah, it was a little too blousey.
Oof. I just thought in general, all of the clothing, it was very moody. Like maybe this director was like kind of wanted to hone in on like the dark colors, and then he's going out, you know, the horses and the scenery and nature. Well, they definitely
dress Shannon Brenda in black a lot.
That was her choice.
Yeah. And it looks good. I mean, I always think the black outfits, she had sort of a, I don't know if it was like a jumpsuit, but it was like a black tank with black pants. And it was cool.
That's very her.
Mm-hmm. Necklaces.
But for Pete's sake, why is Donna in all these dark colors? Black and like dark forest green. I can't take it. Donna, or maybe I'm putting this on myself, but we are the same. Like, I'm a bright color girl. Jen, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you are. Dismay.
You're always trying to get me to wear color, and I
she looks great in color, by the way.
I don't like it.
Well, you got color on today, and you know that's my favorite color.
I'm wearing a green hat. That doesn't count.
Small wins.
Okay. I still think Nikki is going to move back to San Francisco.
I hope so.
I hope so, too. No offense.
But I love her fashion. No. But I love her fashion.
Yeah. Hers was darker this episode, too. They were all in dark colors. You can't
take
it.
There was nothing like... Wow. There was no fun.
There was no fun.
I thought it was a funny, I know we're sidebarring, but a funny David Steve Sanders scene when David's in the DJ booth. My inept manager, I won't say his name, Steve Sanders. Like that was the script was funny. You guys, I know you hate this episode.
I wrote down in my head, because I don't write like legal pad notes like you guys. I was like, this is good. His timing was really good in that.
Yes.
And I was like, started to see his comedy.
I agree. I thought that I would love to do a dramatic recreation. I know we're going to have to move on next week, but I am going to get the script and do this script really tickled me.
We didn't talk about Donna's hair at the nightclub, though.
Oh, the curls.
Okay. So you guys, I was going to bring it up. So that back then, I have now, you know, processed and bleached my hair for so many years. It just gets a little wave underneath. But that was my normal hair. That was my hair, but with a diffuser. Remember the diffuser you put on the end?
And you like scrunch it.
You'd scrunch it and put it.
Mm-hmm.
I have to show you my high school picture. I have that hair. It looks like poodle hair. And then I have bangs.
Whoa.
So blow out the bangs super straight and then this. And it's like, ugh.
Yeah, I definitely prefer your hair straight. Like more like soft and straight.
It bothered me a lot. I mean, I did like that we were semi-twinning with like half updo. So that made me happy.
Yeah, we looked like we were friends. Did you like Kelly's brown blazer?
I'm obsessed with that look. Because you in an oversized blazer... and a bodysuit and like boyfriend jeans back then, before they were called boyfriend jeans.
Yep.
Like, I don't know. You look so hot.
I wrote it too. I wrote cute.
Really? I didn't. I thought it was blech.
And then I loved the scene too.
Because it was the typical blazers the girls wear, which are like the shoulder pads, double-breasted or kind of fitted, but long. It was literally like back then it was like Aardvark or something. You know, that was like our thrift store in Melrose. Uh-huh. It was almost like a thrift store purchase and it was cool and it was a guy's and you like wore it. And I thought that outfit was everything. That's my favorite outfit in that episode. Thank you for bringing it back up.
I must have been going through like a wear my hair off my face. Like, it's very, because when I was watching this episode, my husband goes, wait, I've seen that look before, that makeup and hair look. And so he did a deep dive down the rabbit hole, as Dave likes to do. And he saw a picture of Oh my God, I have to pull it up and show you.
Oh,
guys.
Please, yes. This is great.
He goes, were you married to Dan then?
Who's Dan?
Her first husband. Yeah, because that's like the blazers he used to wear, but he wore them with like t-shirts and jeans.
It's like, no. His blazer.
Yeah.
Show it.
See, everyone was starting to like wear what they like kind of were into in real life during that time.
I mean, okay, wait, here's a picture of me wearing his blazer.
Did you have a husband that had hair like yours?
Yes, sorry.
Yeah. We were twins, basically.
I didn't know. I didn't know you had a husband before Peter.
Yes, I
Isn't
did.
That his name
we
Peter?
Don't speak. Yeah, but, we don't speak of the one before Peter.
Okay, good.
We got married when I was
so young.
20, no, 19, 21, 20, I don't know.
Do you think it was all the 90210 stuff that made y'all get married young?
Yeah, I know why I got married young, because he was big in stature like my dad. Like he had a similar presence that my dad had, and my dad was sick and dying at that time. And I was trying to like, I needed somebody or, you know, I needed, he reminded me of my dad a lot, minus the other things. No, yeah. But he was a good guy.
And my bad boyfriend that I referred to a lot during that time period, he and Dan were such good friends.
Were
Is
they?
That true?
Yes.
Really?
Well, I mean, they met through us because we were going double dates, but they became... How do you not remember this?
Oh, wait.
Yes. Dan and Nick became really good friends and like would do things outside of us. And we would sit home... This is the story she doesn't remember, but the night, like the one night we were sitting home, the first time she took me to Michael's, like loved it. And we
the
were sitting
arts and
home
craft
knitting
store.
Arts and crafts store.
Like, what's Michael's?
Michael's. Do you have to even get like
no,
say
I totally
what it
know
is?
What Michael's
like Michael's.
Is. I just like, never occurred to me that that was
we
what
were
you
making
were
a rug, and we were in our house, and it's because Dan and Nick were out,
and so we decided to stay home and.
Yeah, because that was our personalities. Yep. Yep.
We were like, good riddance, guys. Go have some fun.
I'm interested if people rewatching it
liked it.
Will dislike it, like you guys, and apparently the whole universe back in the 90s, or with the 2022 eyes, was it just sort of novelty and cheesy and funny?
I'm curious as well. If people tell us, let us know, you guys, did you like this episode or did you dislike it like I did? I just felt like it was super like I felt like we were in one gear and then all of a sudden we switched to another gear and now what's going to happen? I don't know. We're going to go back to the other gear.
Yeah. Where I think what I loved about it was the script. Like I was like, this is hilarious.
I'm going to get you a signed autographed script and this is going to be the one.
Hilarious is not what 90210 was going for, so for you to say you loved it, oh, you love to hate it, so we got you. You hated this episode.
Maybe I don't know, but I just thought it was so funny and entertaining and like zingy zaggy, like but maybe I'm cuckoo. I thoroughly enjoyed myself watching it last night.
Well, I'm glad you liked it, Amy. You're the only one.
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay, here's your homework, you guys. Next episode, season 3, episode 15, The Kindness of Strangers.
Do the Walshes have someone live with them? Did I make
Dylan?
Because they wouldn't be strangers.
Kindness of Strangers.
No idea.
Strangers.
Find out.
So exciting when you have zero memory of anything. It's like you're living it all again for the first time.
I got nothing.
Yeah. We shall see. We shall see. Everybody watch next week's episode. And we deeply apologize for this episode of 90210 OMG. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.